Well, good morning. It is so good to be back with you guys on this October the 8th, 2024. I sure did miss you guys last week, and I'm so excited to be back on the air with you all, ready to get back into the normal morning routine. So I hope that you guys are listening in on this beautiful Tuesday morning. Again, as always, good morning to 91.5 Litchfield Hardinsburg, 98.3 Owensboro, Kentucky, and 91.1 Hinesville, Glasgow. You can interact with the broadcast today, 270-230-6337. If you've missed the morning broadcast, just come in here and say hi, and we'd love to hear from you guys because I don't think you all realize how much I missed you all. It was a nice vacation, but I was ready to be back. I was definitely ready to be back. By the time we got home, I was itching to be back. And so it was great to be with the family. Enjoyed going on vacation with Hannah and Ethan. After coming home and thinking about it, if I never do another cruise, I'm okay with that. It just, the more I think about it, I enjoyed the people I was with. But I don't think I was a fan of the cruise. Once I got home and thought about it, I would much rather go to Panama or somewhere like that. It just wasn't for me. Not the kind of atmosphere that I really liked too much.
So was that the first cruise you was on?
Since I was 16, okay. But I was a much different kid at 16.
Yeah.
But it was really good. I enjoyed the company and I enjoyed the family, but I really did miss being here.
Right.
And I was telling somebody yesterday, and I was trying to get caught up in all the things that we had to get caught up on yesterday and went right back to work. And I was telling Joe, I think it was, you don't realize what peace you have here on this campus until you're not there.
Right.
And I don't know how to explain that. When I went to Wyoming, it was really peaceful. But coming back here, I think there was a whole nother level of peace that I walked back into spiritually. And it was an atmosphere that I struggled with a lot because of it. But it was really great with the family. And I enjoyed, being with my kids so much. I don't get that opportunity a ton. I'm with my kids.
Yeah.
But to fully give myself to them without a cell phone or without anything like that is rare. And so for doing that for a week, I really, really enjoyed that. Even though, after a week they was getting in trouble and, you were still yelling at them on the boat. But it was a really, really good time.
So, That's awesome.
But I did miss everybody. So we're very excited to be back in here. Miss Judy, welcome. She said welcome back. And Miss Elizabeth said we missed you guys. And I missed them too. And so we got full morning. We're excited for it.
That's it.
So Brother Josh, how are you doing?
Been doing well, brother. Been doing all right. So, trucking along the last week and a half. It felt kind of weird not coming down here last Tuesday.
Yep.
Felt kind of weird not hearing from Brother Aaron from time to time, but that's all right. That's all right. So, I knew y'all was with family, had a great time. So, good to have y'all back and ready to keep going.
Yep. And we can't say thank you enough to Pastor Josh for helping so much during the Share-a-thon. Mm-hmm. And you guys who really stepped up and helped us in a big way. I can't lie, I didn't know what to expect after the first day because it was the lowest first day by far we've ever had since I've been here, for sure.
Yeah.
But we really still finished strong. It was over 21, right?
Yes. I just told Hannah a while ago, unless things have come in since I've been here, it was 21,532
yes.
is what I had.
Yes. So praise the Lord. It was a good, good share-a-thon. And we could not have done it without Pastor Josh this time. Well, you were so big for us.
I love it. I love being on here, being available if I can. Everybody says, well, what do you want to do? I say, well, I'll be available if I can do anything. That's what I want to do. So I'm thankful to help out. So,
amen.
Anyway.
Well, Miss Hannah, how are you?
I'm good. I feel very rested up. Sometimes, like yesterday, I was feeling kind of really tired. But after yesterday, just resting and seeing family that wasn't with us, it's good. And so we had a great time. We had a great time. And it's always cool seeing new places you haven't been before. And But I'm glad to be back. I definitely missed everyone. And it was hard because my notifications were coming in from, you know, like different prayer requests and different things, but I couldn't respond to them. So I could read them, but I couldn't send anything back.
I got you.
So it was nice to be able to get back and just get plugged in back with people,
right,
and be just in the know about what's going on. And I'm very thankful for, I know my mom was praying, and a lot of people were praying for us, like, as we were gone and all the other people traveling with all the hurricanes and the weather that's been going on. And as what I've heard is that there was like several things brewing while we were gone, but yet we had like beautiful weather the whole time.
Wow.
We had sunny weather. I mean, there was a few times on the way back that the water was kind of more rough, but I mean, we had sunny days every single day. So I'm very thankful for that. That we didn't have storms and stuff like that. So I feel thankful for that. And, glad to be back and glad to just be back in the know of what's going on. Like, all the devastation that's happened in North Carolina and different places, continuing to be in prayer for them. But it's awesome to see how many people are coming together to try to help as well, the body of Christ. So
Right. It's
been good being back.
Yes. And we definitely need to be praying for Milton, against Milton, to really decrease. It's a Category 5 right now with sustained winds up to 175. And so we are praying for that. And they say it should decrease by the time back it gets to land Category 3. But I have heard other reports, some from specialists, who say if it hits right – and it's as warm as it is in the Gulf, depending on the weather stream patterns, it could be the first historical Category 6.
Wow.
Which would mean that winds are getting up to 210, with sustained winds hitting 190.
Oh,
and they say that they hope it's not, and the models are showing, or hopefully it gets back down to at least a Category 4 by the time it hits Tampa, because it's going to hit Tampa right on, which is really one of the first times Tampa has been hit hard by a major hurricane. Usually it hits them. They get the outskirts, from what I understand.
Right.
To get head on has not happened in a while.
Yeah, it kind of took me. When I heard that, Brother Aaron, I was thinking, what? Then I understood what they were saying when they said head on or whatever.
Yep, it's just straight on.
Yep.
Now, it looks like it's going to hit Florida and just go right back out to the ocean. So that's good news for North Carolina and South Carolina, who's in just turmoil right now.
Yep.
And again, like Hannah said, it's really difficult to come back into it and realize what's happening and not been able to be a part. So I'm trying to pray how Joe's down there in South Carolina, I think it is right now, doing some power work. And we were talking on the phone last night, and I just pray there's a way or avenue open up that we can bring a team down or something like that. We're praying for connections. And
I got
so
you.
Me and him was talking about that last night. How can we help? How can we serve? Because it's the body of Christ. And one of the things I love to see right now is that so many people are talking about Samaritan's Purse and how they were the first boots on the ground, and they're the most organized, effective organization right now getting stuff done.
Right.
And that shows the body of Christ,
yep,
the power of the body
awesome.
Of Christ. And we're seeing that testimony over and over of Samaritan Purse as being the most organized, effective ones. And we're hearing a lot of things about FEMA and all these things. And I'm not going to get political this morning, the first morning back, but there's been some frustrating things, like sending $157 million to Lebanon whenever we have people who are destroyed in North Carolina who can't get funds, can't get help. So there's some things I'm really frustrated with in our nation right now. But we've got to step up and help these people. I mean, look at I-40, just the whole infrastructure is in chaos right now.
And that's going to be like that for a while.
Yeah, because, I mean, the whole interstate washed out.
Yep.
And that's a major interstate. And so it is, I don't know, it is just, it's devastating. So many people lost everything. Deaths, I don't even know the actual death toll at this point. Do you know it, Pastor Josh?
Well, the last I heard was over 200.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no way they can
220 something,
yep.
But they're still finding.
Yep.
And they're still finding people trapped in homes. And so we just need to be praying for them. And
that's right.
As the body of Christ. And if we can help and serve, we should be. And so we're just praying for connections and avenues and how can we be effective and help.
Right.
And so, and just pray for Florida as they're recovering from one major hurricane and facing another one tomorrow. And
yep.
So we'll be praying for it to continue to decrease.
Amen. Amen.
Also, if Ethan's listening out there, happy 2-year anniversary.
Well, I'll be.
happy anniversary.
We use this trip for anniversary trip, Christmas, not Christmas, birthdays.
I got you.
I don't think I knew it was an anniversary trip.
You never did know it?
I didn't put them together.
Well, we didn't.
I should have. I married them, but.
We didn't tell the people. Now, they did sing happy birthday to Nolan at our dinners.
Yeah, they did.
We had the best. I just loved our waitress and waiter. They were so sweet and nice. And I think they were our favorite ones that we've ever had.
I got you.
Yeah.
They went above and beyond. They ran to a whole other floor to get Aaron's bacon.
Oh, it's awesome.
When they didn't even have it in the kitchen.
Now, I will say the things I loved about the cruise was the food. I loved the food.
I got you.
I did. And like Hannah said, our waitress and server was really good. It was fine. It's like fine dining. It's
right.
In those type settings. So it's the first time my kids ever experienced stuff like that because we're from Kentucky. Fine dining for us is Captain D's.
You ain't kidding.
So they got to experience that, and you know, they never had anybody put their napkin on their lap for them and push their chair in. And I told Heather, I said, I get used to this. I expect this when I get home. And Maria would always call me Sir Aaron, and I'm like, Heather, you got some catching up to do. I said, and so last night at dinner, we was eating our fettuccine Alfredo, and with chicken. And I must admit, though, I missed my wife's cooking. I really do love my wife's cooking. So as good as I thought the ship food was, I love my wife's just as much.
Right.
But Nolan went and got a dish towel and put it in my lap last night for me. And so it said, anything else, Sir Aaron? I said, that'd be all.
That's amazing.
And so, but it was a really, it was great.
That's good.
But let's see, Miss Joanne Burks, we miss you too. Her and Scotty was at church Sunday morning. I missed it. I hate that I missed it. But I heard Brother Jason and Miss Breck did a phenomenal job. Both of them did. I had so many good reports from last Sunday.
That's awesome.
I had a ton of good reports from last Sunday. And just Breck did a really great job, the reports were, and Jason did an excellent job preaching. And I heard a lot of good feedback on Miss Leslie Downs from Lesson Downs Music, did a phenomenal job as well. I heard a lot of feedback. And so I was getting a lot of calls and texts. It was hard because, like, I was getting calls and texts while I'm boarding the boat, and then I had to turn the phone off, and that was – we checked him in Puerto Rico, which praise report, my wife loves Puerto Rico. And so that was definitely our favorite spot. We were incredibly, me and her both were really disappointed in St. Thomas. We were really looking forward to that one. And Megan's Bay was beautiful, but we would never go back to, like, you would, I don't think we could ever vacation to St. Thomas.
Really?
Yeah.
You also, I found out, I mean, there's all of those different U.S. Virgin Islands there, and a lot of people took ferries to different parts of the island because there's different beaches on those different islands. We only went to St. Thomas, but, hey, I'd go back for that water. I'd just chill at the beach. That's my kind of vacation. I mean, every place that you go, most places. Now, Puerto Rico is a little bit more well-kept in the city, but usually most places you go on a cruise aren't. The cities are pretty poor,
right.
And they're not very well-kept because they use the port area for their main attraction and then some of the beaches, but they don't really keep up their cities.
But right. Hannah didn't get to see the beach at Puerto Rico.
Okay.
So she would have like no need to go to St. Thomas if you went to the beach at Puerto Rico. Because I think the water at Puerto Rico is clear.
I saw the water. We didn't get to go to a beach.
Yeah.
I liked it.
Megan's Bay was beautiful. It really was a beautiful thing. But and it was a blessing to go. And
right.
I'm so glad to be home. I think just the atmosphere you get to step into here and the peace and the joy of serving the Lord and missing everybody and getting to do this program. I mean, like,
right.
I really did miss it. And so, but Miss Joanne, we missed you. Brother Denny, of course, we miss Brother Denny tremendously as well.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
Like when you go on it, you know, when we're both not gone, you can still tune in and listen to Box 2 when you're traveling. I mean, we could have tuned in, but we couldn't tune into the broadcast because I normally try to tune in if I can. But
right.
Well, this time we couldn't tune in.
And then we couldn't tune in at all because, you know, we didn't have our phone service. But I do miss that because I like whenever I'm traveling, And whenever I'm somewhere, being able to tune in, it's cool. And speaking of that, I had a little testimony. We met a guy named Armando, if you're listening out there, on the app in Fort Lauderdale, our Uber driver. It was a really cool divine appointment. We had a really good conversation with him, and he was able to share some of his testimony, and we were able to pray for him. Ethan was able to pray for him, and he was listening to K-Love, and then Ethan told him that I work for a radio station, and he said, "She works for K-Love?" And we're like, no, not K-Love, not K-Love. And then he was like, "Well, where?" But he acted just as, you know, excited about our radio station. And we started telling him about, you know, the radio station, and he was asking about the app. So we told him about the app, and it was really cool just to be able to talk to somebody,
That's awesome.
We don't even know about, you know, a way they can listen through the app. So, and he was somebody, one of those people who Box 2 would actually be really helpful for, because he didn't have a home church.
Oh, and wow.
He had moved from a different country where he had a church, and he's living in, you know, the United States now, and he hadn't found a home church. So I hope he does tune into Box 2 Radio and
That'd
gets
awesome.
To listen.
That'd be awesome if he's listening right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Armando.
There you go.
Well, our verse for the day before we get into Romans here, let's see here. It is 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. Finally, all of you have unity of mind, reading from the ESV, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. That's good stuff right there. Finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, a humble heart, mind. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. For to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing.
Amen.
Don't repay evil with evil.
That's right.
But bless. I love that. I love that. Quote of the day. It's a long one. I got a long one.
Is this all right? That's
Richard
good.
Baxter. You ever heard of Richard Baxter?
I don't guess so, to
he
be honest
wrote
with
some,
you.
We're related.
There you go.
could be. You never know. He wrote some incredible things, but definitely during a different time period. He's more reformer series, so 15, 1600s. Is it a small thing in your eyes to be loved by God? To be the son, the spouse, the love, the delight of the King of Glory. Christian, believe this and think about it. You will be eternally embraced in the arms of love, which was from everlasting and will extend to everlasting. Of the love which brought the Son of God's love from heaven to earth, from earth to the cross, from the cross to the grave, and from the grave to glory. That love which was weary, hungry, tempted, scorned, scourged, buffeted, spat upon, crucified, pierced, which fasted, prayed, taught, healed, wept, sweat, bled, and died. That love will internally embrace you.
Amen.
Love that.
Wow.
Love that.
That's good.
Weather today is going to be an absolutely gorgeous day, a high of 74 and a low of 45, so could get chilly tonight. You might need a jacket.
That's right.
Isn't that good saying that?
That's pretty wild, man. Yeah, finally going to be able to say that.
So. Yes, and we'll have to get back in our groove of announcements.
Yeah.
But I do have this announcement, two announcements here just concerning Bethel. And, of course, you guys have any announcements, get them to me, 270-230-6337. We're going to have Bible study tomorrow night, so we'll have regular service. I'm going to be teaching tomorrow night. But we will not have youth. Usually on fall breaks we don't. Usually we have so many kids traveling and stuff like that. So there will be no youth. Official youth tomorrow night, but we will have regular service. We were thinking about just taking off the whole night, but we're going to go ahead and teach. Jason forgot to announce it on Sunday morning, and so I figured the best thing to do is go ahead and I'll go ahead and teach that night. Be nice to get back in the pulpit and teach on Wednesday nights. Brother Rick's doing a phenomenal job. They may be back. I'm not for sure. They were supposed to be gone for 2 weeks for vacation, but I heard somewhere they may be back because I think they were in Tampa.
Okay.
So I doubt they were going to stay.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go ahead and teach tomorrow night. Then the following Wednesday, we'll get back to regular youth and Brother Rick back in the adult class. And so exciting times in the kingdom there. And then also October 26th, mark it on your calendar, Bethel Christian Academy Chili Cook-Off. Each year we do the Chili Cook-Off. This year is a little bit, the only difference is it's just going to be Bethel Christian Academy sponsored.
That's all right.
And we're really excited about it. We're getting, me and Heather and some others, we're going head on now. If you're a business out there and you would like to get in on this and help us out and get some sponsorship and underwriting that and really getting behind that, you can contact me It don't take a lot, just any kind of thing for the auction. Or if you're a person that wants to donate something towards the auction, that'd be fine too. That's all right. Funds will go to Bethel Christian Academy and helping our Christian school keep going strong and helping 70 kids be discipled every single day that they're at school.
Amen.
So it's an awesome opportunity that we have, not to just educate, but to also equip and
That's
disciple.
Awesome. That's awesome.
And we're asking you guys to help us continue doing that.
Amen. So speaking of the academy, is the volleyball season over?
No, I think there's
some more stuff.
There is a little bit more. Okay. I think the tournament should be happening soon.
I got you.
Then we'll move right into basketball season.
Yeah, then it won't be long. That'll be happening. So.
Not at all. And so,
I know it's a big thing around here. So anyway. So
we love our basketball season.
That's right.
We do. All righty. Well, we got 8 minutes in Romans. Again, it is so good to be back with you guys. And we're just geared up. I'm ready to be back into I don't even call it normalcy.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to call it normalcy. I just, when you're not doing it for a week,
yep.
You realize, like, the privilege and the honor it is. And when you start to miss it. And when you start to think about how God's using this program and the testimony that we're hearing and the reports that we're hearing and the body of Christ coming together. And you're always stirred and affected by share-a-thons. They yep. always have a way to get to you.
Right.
And so we're just – I was just really excited to get back in.
Yep.
And
yeah, I know, because Morning of the Box 2 Radio, I guess it's been 2 weeks since we've been here.
Yeah.
With the broadcast, because, I mean, those
with
3
Share-a-thon.
Days after that, we had share-a-thon.
Yeah.
So
well,
obviously the program.
Here. I was so excited to get back into it. I almost just came in and did it yesterday morning by myself. but I didn't get home. I think we pulled into the house about 2:30 or 2:45 in the morning.
I knew it was going to be late, but I didn't know what time it was.
It was really late. And so,
or really early, however you want to put that. Right?
It was. And so, but all
so
right.
Did Ethan have to get up and go to work that morning?
Yeah, he did.
Oh, wow.
I was thankful for the sleep. I really did miss you guys, but I was, man. Yeah, I think all the like tiredness of traveling and like being in the airport and walking and all, like, it's like everything hit me all at once yesterday, and I was like, I don't even know how much I slept yesterday. I napped so much in the evening, went to bed early in the night. I don't know. It was just, I'm thankful for the rest because I feel good today. Like, I don't feel tired
at
all. So
that's good.
I was geared up. I went right back on the mower and started making calls and dealing with a lot of other stuff, and
that's it.
I'm amped up and ready to go.
That's awesome.
I'm amped up.
Let's row. Let's go.
All right. We're gonna restart Romans 6. I feel like that's the only fair. I know we're in Romans 6. We're tabbed in there somewhere.
Verse 15.
But I feel like, just for the sake of it, to get us back into our minds, I think we should restart Romans 6. So I hope everybody's okay with that.
Let's go for it.
What shall we say then? Are we able to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Read the King James on that one. We'll get parallel here, Josh.
Okay. It says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?
Well, I think Paul's being very clear here. Because, again, if you go back to 5... And 20, now the law came to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. So that as sin reigned in the death, grace also reigned through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So Paul's saying this grace is not there to enable us to sin more and still get away with it, because righteousness is there. He's saying that grace is there so that the sin is destroyed in our life. So as death and as sin grew stronger, grace became stronger than that. Because sin did become very strong.
Come on.
And sin is still strong.
It is.
But
it
the
is.
Grace of God is bigger.
Right.
Does not mean that it's there so that we can continue in sin. It's telling me that it's there so that we can conquer sin.
Be empowered. Yep.
And so we don't have to be encompassed, enslaved, and governed by sin, even though sin is powerful, because the grace of God is more powerful.
Yep.
Because if the grace of God was not more powerful, and the grace of God was there only for us to continue in sin, then that means grace isn't really as powerful.
Come on.
It's just there.
Right.
And that is basically saying we're getting out of a hell free card and still doing whatever we want. And that's contrary to every word that Jesus spoke. and every story, every testimony. Like the woman who was caught in the issue of adultery. All right, so we love that story. Powerful display of God's love. But the result of that display was not continuance of adultery. That result of that display of love was a changed and transformed life.
That's
go
right.
And sin no more.
Amen.
And we never have record of her going back to her lascivious lifestyle.
Yeah.
It was, she was transformed. If you go to the man when he stepped onto the Gadarenes and the legion came out of him, history records that that guy became a church planter and an apostolic leader in his community. Why? Because a man who was possessed with a legion of demons met the Son of God, and the grace of God reigned more supreme than the sin that was in his own life and the addiction or the possession or whatever you want to say right there. It was bigger, and because it was bigger, that guy was forever transformed. So he went from chained up to breaking other people's chains, and he literally started to be a leader in the community.
Come on.
Why? Because he met the Son of God.
Amen.
And the grace of God reigned bigger than sin and possession of demonic activity in his own life, and he was forever transformed.
Yeah.
That's what Paul's telling us here, that how can we continue in sin?
Yep.
How can we continue in sin? Why would we want to? Why do we want to keep on continuing in that lifestyle? Because the love of God is so much greater. And the love of God is not there to patty cake our sin. The love of God is there to destroy
That's right.
our sin, because Amen. He does love us so much.
Amen. Amen.
Because the consequence of sin is what?
Death.
And what does he come to give us?
Life.
Life and life more abundantly.
That's right.
Amen. Because righteousness produces life and sin produces death. And if death is being conquered, it's because sin has been defeated. And if we are righteous in him, we have become the righteous of Christ in Jesus. Christ Jesus, then we have righteousness that leads to life, and now we have life.
That's right.
We don't have life before.
Come on.
And so when people are being reined in sin, by sin, they think they're having a great time, but they're actually stuck in death.
Hello.
They're stuck in death.
That's good, Aaron.
And they're not having life.
Yep.
Jesus came to open up life.
Yep.
And so...
And there's too many people right now that are stuck in that too. They are stuck in death to the point of where, I'm alive, I'm living, yeah, but the thing about it is you're either a dead man walking or you're walking free. You know
yeah.
what I'm saying? And I believe that that is very critical for us to, even the church as a whole. You know, when I think about the church, I know that there's great people within the church. I mean, church here and churches all over, but still yet within the church as a whole, the remnant, there's people that are still struggling with actually dying to themselves and dying to sin. But here we see throughout all scripture, not only Paul here, but also through even John. I think about John, I think about those, that if we do sin, that means they're trying to get us to a place of where we totally depend upon Jesus, totally depend upon him to get us freed from that, because that's what he done. I mean, if you ask anybody about their experience with the Lord,
mm-hmm.
I believe when you felt most freedom you've ever felt is when you gave your heart to him. But then something happened between that point and now in people thinking, whoa, what happened to that freedom that you once said that you had when you gave your heart to the Lord? Where'd it go? Well, when you get your focus and your attention off the things that God has done for you, then that's when you allow these other things to creep in and allow you to die instead of live.
Yeah.
So,
and as we're going to do one of two things with our desires. We're going to succumb to them or crucify them.
Come on.
It's the only two.
It's good.
If we succumb to our desires,
yep.
then those desires produce sin, and
right.
sin produces death.
Right.
But if we crucify them, then we are not governed by the flesh, we are led by the Spirit. And those who are led by the Spirit, to them he gave them power to become sons of God. And so in this, we are either going to succumb and be governed by our desires.
Come on.
Or we're going to crucify our flesh and be led by the Spirit.
Yep.
But you cannot do both.
That's right.
To be led by the Spirit is to crucify the flesh.
Yeah. And that's why I want to crucify the flesh. When you tell people that right there, Hannah, you think, oh, you're crucifying, what are you battling with? Well, I don't want to battle with nothing. That's why I'm crucifying it every day. You know what I'm saying? They always want to say, oh, well, what's going on with your... I mean, I don't care to say, hey, well, I mean, I struggle with this, struggle with that. But, I mean, you got to crucify that on a daily basis. Do I sin every day? I'm not one that tell you you sin every day. But there is people out there that think that you got to sin every day. But if you crucify your flesh on a daily basis, I believe you can walk in freedom every day, every minute, every second with the glory of God over our life. So...
Yeah, it's like preventing us from sinning.
Right.
By crucifying it. Because if we're doing it as soon as the fiery dart comes in our mind versus letting it turn, that desire turn into sin.
Yeah.
Even if that desire is a fiery dart or if it's just a desire in our own flesh. You know, if we crucify it right then and there, as soon as it comes up, then it will prevent us from following through with a behavior.
Yep.
Well, Jesus said that the law stated that you had to touch a woman to commit adultery. And he said, I say if you lust after a woman heart,
amen,
you commit adultery. What's he saying? He's saying this thing has to come about desire.
Right.
Because if you are crucified at inception, then it never becomes fruitious.
Come on.
And so if you crucified at the inception of that desire, that tendency. So you are walking down the street. And your eyes caught by a pretty person from the opposite sex.
Come on.
Or a handsome person. All right. So what happens is that desire is triggered in your heart because there's that enemy temptation. There's that fiery dart. There's that fleshly lust. Whatever it looks like, whatever it is, you destroy it at that inception. Then you never give birth to its fruition.
Right.
And then death is the result of that because your marriage will come dead. Your life will become dead. Your lifestyle, your kids, everything like that. Even if it's not a physical death, there's a spiritual death. There's a consequence of sin always.
And most time it involves more than just killing you yourself.
Yeah. And Jesus is trying to get us destroyed in the heart.
Right.
Before it gets to our hands.
Yes.
Same thing with being angry with our brother.
Come on.
Repay no evil with evil, but bless. And so Jesus was sitting there saying, destroy it in your heart, and it has no place.
Come on.
Give no place to the devil and give no place to sin. And Paul's going back to here in Romans 6, 1 and 2 and saying, you do not have to be governed by sin because grace is stronger and grace is better. And the righteousness of Christ leads to life, and life more abundantly.
Right.
And Paul's saying, you no longer have to be bound by sin.
Amen.
That's good news.
That's great news. That's awesome.
All right, we're going to get
the gospel.
We're going to get back into our trivia questions. So
where do I need to tab us at?
Three. We're going
back. I felt
back.
Like we talked. Okay. I felt like we talked a little more.
Not well. Down. We only read the first two verses.
We only read the first two.
Yeah.
We just covered some things.
There you go.
It's one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. So maybe.
That's why he wanted to go back and do it.
That's
Yeah, that's right. That's awesome.
Yeah. Tuesday question number one, sponsored by the Sicilian Bank. I'm going to try to reach out one more time to all the winners from the fair. I've still got all these prizes.
Wow.
So I'm going to try one more time. If I cannot connect with them, then. I guess we'll be redrawn.
Did they leave phone numbers and stuff?
Yeah, I have the phone numbers.
Wow.
But it just takes me to voicemails. And so, be all right. Be all right.
We'll just do whatever.
We'll redraw if we have to.
That's it.
Lord willing. Tuesday question number one, sponsored by the Sicilian Bank. Sorry. What was the Jewish name for Abednego? What was the Jewish name for Abednego? 270-257-2689. We'll be right back after this short break here on Mornings of Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network. All right, we are back on this beautiful morning. 270-257-2689 is the number to call to get in on this trivia. What was the Jewish name for Abednego? 270-257-2689. Well, Miss Hannah, are you ready to get back into Kingdom Corner?
Yes. I was right on that trivia, but I can't say it. So, yes. So, okay, I'm in John, going back to John, one of our earlier books we studied on Mornings of Box 2, but chapter 3, verse 11. So Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus here, and I'm going to jump a little bit to verse 19 after verse 12. So he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but do not receive our testimony," talking to Nicodemus. "If I had told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his work should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God." So when reading this passage of scripture of Jesus talking to Nicodemus here, the first thing that caught my attention was whenever Jesus says, we speak of what we know and we are bearing witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? And that just stuck with me. I was pondering on that, like, wow, like, if he can't understand, and if we can't understand earthly things, like a report that actually happened, it shows why we need faith. Because if, you know, we don't have the faith to believe something that really just happened in the natural, how can we understand these things that are happening in the spiritual?
Right.
And it just, you know, reminds me too of just the hardness of heart. Because it does seem like Nicodemus, his heart was being softened because his wheels were turning. He was thinking,
right.
But he did still have some hardness of heart to not want to believe what was right in front of him,
Amen.
What was actually, you know, happening right in front of him. And I believe that's why Jesus says, you know, blessed are those who believe without seeing.
Blessed, that's right.
You know, and so that was the first thing. But also the verse came to my mind, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And in this passage, you know, Nicodemus, he was struggling to actually hear the words of God, the words of life. He didn't have an ear to hear. He wasn't open, completely open. He still had some hardness. He still had some walls up. And I think that that's something for us to remember, that faith, the faith that Nicodemus needed here, and the faith that all of us need, because Nicodemus is just one example of human nature to not want to believe the truth,
right.
To want to rebel against the truth, to want to not be in tune with reality, to
Come
want
on.
To escape reality. And he was trying, though. We see that he was trying. But there was still that flesh in the way.
Yeah.
And I think that we just, you know, that verse came to me because I'm like, all right, Lord, how do we get better about this? Like, how do we, and of course, when we receive the Holy Spirit, like, that's the only way we can truly have our eyes, the veil lifted and our eyes open.
Amen.
But I believe, you know, for the unbeliever, you know, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So first
right.
you must hear. You
yes.
have to hear. We can't have our ears and our fingers in our ears, you know, and be making noise. We have to really listen. And you can tell the ones, you know, when the word is being preached, who
right.
are listening, who
yes.
are engaged, who is the seeds are falling and they're being rooted in good soil. But for the believer, I mean, we don't get to just escape. We don't get to just ignore this passage when we're saved, because I believe there's still so much here for us too. And I looked up the word, let's see here, in Romans 10:21, I went to that verse too. It says, I have spread out my hands all day long to a disobedient and obstinate people. And he's talking about Israel.
Right.
And I looked up that word obstinate, and it means stubbornly refusing to change one's opinion or chosen course of action.
Wow.
And I believe, and then it says, despite attempts to persuade one to do so.
Right.
And like, that's what Jesus was trying to do here with Nicodemus. He was trying to persuade. I mean,
yes.
he was saying all of the words that he needed to hear. And that should have been enough to persuade. And so when talking about a believer, someone who has been born again,
right.
I believe that we need to pray that we don't get stuck in that same pattern that Israel did with being a disobedient and obstinate people.
Right.
Because I do believe that there were people who had a relationship with the Lord that were in, you know, that group of people that would serve him and then fall away. Because that was in Romans. It was actually quoting Isaiah. It was quoting the book of Isaiah. So it was during that time where, you know, there was serving the Lord, turning to idols. I mean, it happened all throughout the scripture. But anyways, I think for believers, basically wrapping it all up, to not be that obstinate people and to not miss what God has for us. Because Amen. That's the thing is Jesus was standing right in front of him and he was missing it.
Right.
And I think for us believers, we have the Holy Spirit. We're sealed, but God has so much in store for us. He wants us to know him more. He wants us to go deeper with him. And if we're not careful, we can get so stubborn and stuck in our ways.
Yeah.
And our natural, you know, our routines that we do miss right. what's right in front of us. And I think that's what we can learn from this is to not be even fearful, because I kind of see fear with Nicodemus too, to not be fearful and so stuck that in our ways and our thinking that yeah. we can't repent and change our thinking.
That's right.
Often.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's the corner.
I think some of what God is trying to instill into people when Lord was talking to him here was him realizing that it's inside of his heart. I mean, even what we said a while ago about the scriptures in Romans about it's a heart thing. And we know that's what it all is, but even though that maybe we know that's what it is, but still yet so many people struggle with being stubborn. You say, I think the word you used a while ago, because of why we're stuck in our ways, we got to do this, got to do that. But I mean, I'm thankful that, you know, that right now that we're coming against that, you know, that word there. Because it's something that holds us back from actually getting to where the Lord would want us to be. Mm-hmm. And I mean, because there's people out in this world right now. I mean, it's sad, but I mean, I even here lately, I've been talking to somebody, or somebody said something to me the other day. How I asked them if they come to church, you know, they know Jesus. And they said, well, I don't think the impression that I got from them was they wasn't ready to give up the things of this life. You know, they still like to do this. And for one thing, I am thankful that they know that what they are doing is sin, and it's also separating them from the love of God because of their choices. But on the flip side of this, I don't want people to think that they can just come and go when they please.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because I believe that we have a people right now that think, well, you're in one minute, you're out the next, you're in there, you know, but you can't just come and go as you please. But I think they're just like, I'm just not ready, I don't think, to give it all up, because they think that they're the ones that have to do it. But all you got to do is give it to Jesus. He's the one that does it.
Mm-hmm.
Because when he takes away things out of your life, everybody thinks then I'm going to be empty. No, actually you're going to be full, because he's going to put himself inside of you and fill up all the voids in your life and not allow nothing else to creep in there. Now, can we be in a place of where we allow those things to happen? Sure. But that's why we talk about it often, about how we crucify the flesh and we die to the things of the world, and we allow our experience with Jesus to be a daily devotion activity in our life, not just a one-time thing, but it's a daily, every day. So, anyway.
Daily bread.
That's right.
So. Amen. Well, Brother Steve Higgins got that correct.
Amen.
What was the name, Jewish name for Abednego? Azariah, Daniel 1:6-7.
Sister Hannah had that in right, too.
So. Yes.
Without Googling it, but I did Google to check.
Well, I'm not even getting in on all that.
I'm just kidding. No, there's so many that I don't know. I'll be honest. So many trivia questions. They do a really good job on getting good trivia questions. And mm-hmm. If I were to get it, I would have to Google. So
yep.
I'm not saying you can't.
That's right.
It's just nice to be able to know it off the top of your head.
Yep.
Yeah. Sure is.
I got also two more things to throw out there from while we were gone. Miss Jerry and Miss Gayla led worship the Wednesday night that we were gone.
Yep.
Now, I'm very upset that I missed that because I love when they do, and it's hard to get them to do it. You have to pray it in real hard. But I missed that. And then, of course, Brother Lyndon Frost, who is the host and the voice of Ministry of the Nations on Friday at 9 o'clock to 9:30 a.m., he was preaching this first Sunday we were gone. So I appreciate both of them, too, for serving in the capacities and helping us out. I'm very much excited to be back in the pulpit this Sunday.
Amen.
And I'm excited just for what God has in store for us as a body, and believing God for incredible things moving into this fall.
Yep.
This fall.
It is.
Can you believe it's
fall? Time is here, buddy. So
yeah.
Yeah. Only three more months in this year and it'll be over.
Yeah, I was mowing yesterday, and I was walking home afterwards, and I was like, man, this feels good. I think I'm a little chilly. Like,
I know it.
Like, I enjoyed that.
Yep. So not much mowing time probably left, I guess.
Yeah.
A few more times.
It needs a really good shorter cut.
I got you.
You know, you're supposed to cut it short. You're supposed to cut it short late fall and early spring.
Really?
And I mean, like, really short.
Okay.
Because that's the time it really don't hurt the grass much. Take it.
Yep. I got you.
And so we learned that working at the golf course for so long that in the fall you need to cut it lower in the spring, and that helps with the weeds.
All right.
Well, so helps kill them out.
I don't know if I'll be honest with you. I don't know if I've ever heard that before or not. But anyway, I have now.
Yeah. So. Now, depending on like hayfield or something like that, that may be different. But I just know with manicured grass and lawns and stuff like that, you're supposed to.
Right. I hear you. That's all right. Cut it all better.
But all righty. Well, we are moving forth. We'll get back into some topics either this week or next week. Coming back in on this first day, we didn't have really a topic I don't think that we were going to cover.
Right.
But I do have a couple questions that have been asked to me over the last couple weeks that we have not got to, like in passing and stuff like that.
Yep.
One of them is about secular music. Should we listen to secular music? All right, so me personally, I do not think it's a sin to listen to secular music. Okay, I just want to put that out there. I do think that it's not always helpful. Now, let me clarify the statement. I do think it's sinful to listen to certain secular music. All right, if the music is full of profanity, full of derogatory terms towards women, sexual proscenity, stuff like this.
An example of a secular song that a lot of people listen to would be like, I mean, it sounds silly, but like Happy Birthday is a secular song.
Wow.
Because it's not glorifying it's not Christian. So there's songs like that. I mean, we're probably not going to be going around just listening in our headphones to Happy Birthday, but I'm trying to think of some different ones that are like that.
If Josh Milburn recorded it, I would. I have it in my playlist.
I mean,
secular, there are some like patriotic songs that would be secular because they're not Christian. They're not worship. Okay. So there's like different categories, I guess we'd have to talk about with that. Yeah. I think most people are probably talking about like mainstream, like, you know, country music, pop music.
That's right.
Those types.
Yeah. You know, on the boat, there was a lot of secular music playing the whole time, of course.
Right.
They didn't play no Christian songs. Now, there was
Y'all did, the beach or whatever, that one time y'all did.
That was really cool. That was really cool.
That was cool. In Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that was really cool. There was a group there. Ethan got saved that night. It was awesome. And so I come back from the bathroom and Ethan's up there getting saved. And we were
both up there. We got nudged up there.
So y'all actually got nudged up there when to pray or get prayed for?
I don't know. There was just workers kind of like, you go up there. You go. I don't know.
Maybe they thought Ethan needed to be saved.
I think what it was, I was tearing up in worship, which is normal for me, but I don't know if they're used to seeing people tear up.
I got you.
I think they might have thought, like, I don't know.
But it was really cool.
They started pushing us.
I think my favorite person there was, and I don't think this was on Facebook, but it was a guy who was doing, like, Christian hip-hop and rap in Spanish. Yeah. I had no idea what he was saying. but it was awesome. Like, I know he said Jesus, so Jesus.
Yeah.
I didn't know one thing he said.
Well.
But you could feel the Spirit of God on it.
I got you.
And I didn't need to know what he was saying.
Right.
It was just a witness in my spirit. And that was my favorite. And they weren't there for that part. I was out there. Me and Eliza had went out early just to walk the boardwalk, and they were finishing up. And I just come upon it. And man, it was cool. it was
there
awesome.
Was a little shop we went in, souvenir shop,
yeah,
on one of the ports that had a Christian radio station.
Yeah, Puerto Rico.
Yep.
Go Puerto Rico. Woohoo.
That's right.
I need to get Ian and Alonzo back in there. They're moving back there for a good period of time, but they'll be going back down to Puerto Rico soon.
Man, oh man.
And so
yep,
getting ready for that mission as well. But all that to say this, there was a lot of secular music.
Right.
And I was actually shocked at some of the songs they were playing, because there were several songs that just one song just flat out had the F word just bombing over the loud system. Another one had GD come across it.
Man.
You know, kids were there, and I was very uncomfortable with that kind of stuff.
I'm glad I didn't hear that.
I was
in my room at a good time using our speaker.
So that stuff is sinful to me.
Yes. Yeah.
All right,
for sure.
But if it's like a love song that's clean and, you know, I love you, you love me, all right, that kind of deal. Like, I don't think it's sinful every time you turn on secular music. But I do think it's not always profitable,
right,
either. So it's going to go back to what Paul said. There may be no scripture that says you cannot listen to this song. All right?
Yeah.
But there is a scripture. It may be permissible, but is it profitable?
Yeah.
And that's what we got to ask ourselves, I think, pertaining to some things that have this gray area zone, even movies we watch, things we participate in. And it does commission us to come out from among them, like come
yes.
out from among them. And there should be a separation of
that's
us.
Right.
But
I think the thing we have to be careful of is really listening to what the words say, because I've talked to a lot of people, and I speak for myself. I like the music, the sound of a lot of songs, and I used to not really listen so closely. Now, if there was a bad word in it, I would, you know,
right,
hear that and turn it. But sometimes it doesn't sound like it's bad, but then when you look up like what they're talking about, you're like, oh my gosh, like
yeah.
I had no idea they're talking about
right.
that. So I think it's important to just make sure to actually read the lyrics and listen to the lyrics and not just repeat. It's very easy too with like social media and like video, you know, TikToks now and Reels. They'll put songs on there and they get stuck in people's heads because they have like a catchy beat,
yeah,
but the words are really, really bad, even if they're not using cuss
yeah.
words.
Right.
So,
but a good example of this too, if we're moving away from like the more intense, blatant, you should not listen to those songs as a Christian, is like two of my favorite movies ever. And I'll be honest with you, I'm not ashamed of either one of these, are musical. Two of my top five favorite movies ever are The Greatest Showman and High School Musical. I still love High School Musical.
Okay.
And so I don't care. I'm not ashamed. I'm a chick flick guy who loves High School Musical.
I'm not laughing or nothing, brother. I
but
promise you.
The Greatest Showman is probably my top two favorite movies ever. I don't know why. I just love
right.
that movie. There's a lot of songs in there that Eliza may turn on the radio or something like that. I don't feel like that's sinful. Or something like, you know, now we listen to those a lot, not all the time, but do we listen to Rewrite the Stars every once in a while and dance to it in the room? Yes. Like, and so I think that's where some people get confused. Like,
yeah,
I don't think it's sinful every time I turn on that movie or if I listen to that soundtrack, but I also don't think it would be edifying for me to listen to those all the time.
Right.
And so I do need to focus on what's pure and holy.
Yep.
And so I think that's that gray area that we have to be careful.
Yeah.
And we have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and all things that do have this area of not like there's an exact scripture to speak against that.
Right.
And that's where we have to listen to the Holy Spirit. And if he starts to convict you, you should be obedient to that. But also we got to be careful not to continue to put our convictions on each other. So Josh may not be able to do something I can do, and I may be not able to do something Josh can do. The Holy Spirit's just dealing with us different because he knows our hearts are different.
Yeah.
And what we need and not to do.
Right.
And there's a word that 95% of the people in the world would not see as a cuss word.
Yeah.
But if I said it or somebody in my house says it, it would be a cuss word and you would be in trouble.
Yep.
And so, but I don't go around enforcing that outside of me and my house.
Right.
And so,
but there are certain ones that I've said to people about. Yeah, I remember working and stuff, and people would say certain ones, and I would get pretty aggravated
mm-hmm.
when they'd say them. So, but going back to the music thing, I'll never forget. And I mean, a lot of people that's listening right now has probably heard this before. If they've been to church, they know my testimony about the music thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when I was about 15, when I was 15 years old, my Uncle Steve and my Aunt Tammy, they lived out in Texas. And so I flew down there. Mom and Dad put me on a plane, Louisville, flew right to them, and then they drove back to come see the family during that summer. So I had my, that's back when we had Walkmans and CD players. And so.
And you had to walk very carefully or skip the CD, right?
You got it. Yeah, unless you had one of them real expensive ones. But anyway, so that was supposed to be anti-skip free and stuff like that. But remember having that music or whatever and, you know, listen to, I think I had mainly country then is what I had. And I'll never forget it. Steve looked at me and said, "Well, you listen to it. You're a kid then," and you're like, "Oh my goodness. Here he is, a youth minister, he's a pastor of a church, and he's asking me what I'm listening to." It made me feel very uncomfortable at the time when he was asking me what was going on. So I just, you know, he kind of looked through it and looked through some of this and some of that. He said, "Listen," he said, "if you can get by the Lord and if you can do it, still serve Jesus, go for it." He said, "But I find it a little bit hard to believe that you'd be able to listen to stuff like that and be able to draw closer to the Lord." Mm-hmm. So that's kind of, ever since that has stuck with me. And it's, have I listened to secular music since then? Yes. But do I engage myself with it? No. But what I'm saying is that's my, and more or less, like you were saying a while ago, convictions and things like that. If you can do it in things, now there's some things that are blatant sin that people say, "Well, that's just my conviction." No, it's blatant sin. It's right here. You know, but if we start filling our hearts with things like that, and I do understand there's certain secular songs like "God Bless America," you sang a while ago or whatever, those songs there are really sung by secular artists that are sung, but it's actually songs that are, you know, that are all right to sing or whatever. But I mean, since that time when I was 15 years old, I'll never forget it, and I'll always remember it, I think. That was a turning point in my life when I really realized, all right, what am I putting inside of my ears to mm-hmm. help me to draw nigh to God or get away from Him?
Mm-hmm.
So I need to start doing better things and make sure that I'm filling my life with things that draw me to Him and not away from Him.
I think we're able to see it, like, clearly see in our lives the fruit that's coming out of our lives when we're listening to certain music. Like, I notice more fruit of the Spirit in my life when I'm listening to worship more than anything else. Even songs that aren't like necessarily the blatant ones. But whenever I start to kind of like listen to a certain, whenever I've started to listen to a certain artist all the time, or, you know, just secular music in general, just turn on the secular radio or whatever, I really do notice a difference in my mood. Big time in my mood. It's pretty crazy. Because whatever they're talking about in the song, for me anyways, some people might not have ever experienced this, but it changes the way I feel
it
that day. Like, it can completely change the way I'm thinking. But whenever I listen to, you know, songs that have scripture in them and are uplifting in the, you know, in the Lord, it changes my mood for the good. So.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, back to, just to clear this out, you know, I do think it's vitally important to stay the course with what leads you to the Lord.
Amen.
But, you know, I've seen it to where people go up to other people who are listening to a song that really doesn't have anything bad in it or anything like that, and just say, you're just a heathen, you're just a sin. And I think that's inappropriate. I don't think it's right. And I think that we have to let the Holy Spirit deal with each other on these issues of gray areas. Now, if it's a blatant sin, like if Josh is caught in a grotesque sin, we rebuke that. We deal with it
according
to the scriptural way. Yeah. But if it's something, these preferences, like, or these convictional things in these gray areas, we got to be careful not to become the Holy Spirit to each other and to let the Holy Spirit be the Holy Spirit. And that's a difficult part at times. And I see a lot of people in the body of Christ hurting other people because they're forcing their convictions on them.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And we got to be careful with that. Like, if Scripture is plainly saying something, we can get behind that. But if this is something like, there's a store that I won't shop at, like, we just don't shop there. But I don't ever look down upon anybody else that shops there.
Right.
Because the Holy Spirit's dealt with me and my family in a different way. And so that's where we just say, you know, like, that's our conviction. And we say it's right. Our conviction, that's what we adhere to. Yeah. I think similar things to music, but I don't think that if all you do is listen to secular music, I don't think that will produce growth in the spirit. But also, if you're watching a movie and you hear a song, it doesn't mean you're actually, you know, that's where I just want to say, like, let's be careful with what we're saying here. And overall, I think the question has to come back to, permissibility may be there, but is profitability there? Is it profitable?
Yeah.
And I agree that there it's one of those just gray areas. It's one of those difficult things. I get this is a popular question I get asked quite a bit, especially by young people. And most young people, they're asking this question for a whole different reason than we are. Like, they're asking it because, do they really have to get up their rap music, or do they have to give up these popular pop songs and stuff like this? Well, most of the time, yes, because they're not promoting Christianity, and you will not grow.
Right.
But I don't think we can just blanket and say all secular music is evil.
Come on.
I just don't think that's a fair assessment. I think that we have to, because we watch the news, and the news is telling us a story. Or right. We watch a movie that's telling us a story.
I got you.
Well, that's what a lot of songs do, too. And so I just think that's where we have to be careful of forcing our convictions on each other. That's my main focus on this, is let's not hurt other people because they may not be where you're at convictionally. And let's not be the Holy Spirit to each other. Let's let the Holy Spirit be the Holy Spirit.
Right, right.
So, and I know I'm going to get pushback on that. There's definitely people who think if you ever turn on a song that's not on radio, like, or necessarily under the Christian banner, you are in open sin. I don't know if I agree with that premise completely. Do I listen to secular music often? No. It's rare. But I don't listen to Christian music a lot either. So outside of the 11 o'clock hour, that's about the only time I listen to Christian music. I'm usually listening to podcasts or teaching or boring guys that nobody else listening to me would ever want to listen to. One guy is so monotone. He is probably worse than Derek Prince. And if you've never heard Derek Prince teach, he is monotoned. So that's what I'm listening to. All right, we're going to read our second trivia question of the morning. How many days did Goliath challenge Israel to send a man to fight him? How many days, sponsored by Higdon Land Surveying, did Goliath challenge Israel to send a man to fight him? 270-257-2689. We'll be right back here after the break on Mornings of Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network. All right, we are back here on Mornings of Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network. We have an answer on this second trivia question. How many days did Goliath challenge Israel to send a man to fight him? 40 days, 1 Samuel 17:16. Brother Jim Croon got that correct.
Good job, Brother Jim.
Brother Jim hopped awesome. In there. And so, good stuff, good stuff.
Brother Jim, on the 16th, which would be October 16th, he'll be ministering at Hudson.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So, anyway.
Did any of y'all get any texts on that last conversation we had?
I did not. Did not. I thought I might get a couple, but I did not get any.
Yeah.
How about you? Did you?
No, not really. I thought I'd get a couple, too. But I am not, let me just clarify this one statement. I am not endorsing secular music.
Right.
All right. When I do listen to music, as I said, it's majority of the time Christian. I want the body of Christ to stop playing the Holy Spirit to each other. That's my heartbeat.
Right.
If, you know, on these things that do have gray areas and we're trying to learn and grow and be the body of Christ, Scripture is our guide. Scripture is Amen. What we can judge by.
Right.
And if it's in the Scripture, so if there's stuff in the song that breaks Scripture, we can declare it an unrighteous song. I think we can all agree on that. And we should not partake in that unrighteousness. And so I just wanted to clarify, I'm not promoting it, I'm not supporting it, but also I'm not going to play the Holy Spirit to each other, and I'm going to let the Holy Spirit do that. Now, if I'm, as a pastor, if I'm sitting there and talking to somebody and they're saying they're having nightmares or they can't stop cussing or they're lusting and they're doing all these kind of things, I'm going to say, well, especially if it's a younger person, what kind of music are you listening to?
Right.
That may be the door, all right? So I get that like 100%. And
yeah.
And if it's music that's leading you away or music contrary to the word of God, then you should cease to listen to that immediately.
Amen.
You should throw it away.
That's exactly right.
100%.
Yep.
Is Megan still coming on with us at 8:30? Have you heard from her?
I got some hearts back, so okay. I think that would be a yes.
Excellent. Well, Brother Josh, are you ready for your daily manna?
Let's go for it. It's morning manna. So, yeah, here we go. So this... morning manna here on Box 2 Radio Network, Mornings with Box 2. So we're going to be going to John chapter 1 and verse 12. It says, But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So we see the evidence of who Jesus is throughout the entire word of God. Jesus is the light who has come to empower those who will receive him. Jesus has and still is equipping his bride to do the work that needs to be done in this hour we are living in. I don't know if we truly understand what the power of his name will do. So many don't want to identify with Jesus because according to Scripture, we will be hated for his namesake. The bride of Christ is powerful and produces a victorious church, but a powerless generation is among us right now who won't identify with his name. The word has power, and Jesus is that word. He must be brought out for others to know by his people. Be encouraged today that no matter your situation, Jesus has given you power to change, overcome, and rise above everything. Be strong, stay strong, and we strong. So I'm thankful this morning. I'm thankful for the opportunity that has allowed me to have a relationship with him. But as many as received him, there's things that we must allow ourselves to realize that in the middle of our life, in the middle of every situation, in the middle of those that I was even talking about a while ago, somebody that told me that they wasn't ready to, I guess, give up their life. I don't see, Hannah, how that everybody thinks that they could just come to Jesus when they want. You know, because in James, we see that where James tells us that you can't even come until the Spirit of God draws you, all right? But I am thankful that they come, and I do think that the Lord was drawing them, because I don't think they would have told me that statement a few days ago if the Lord wasn't pushing them and pulling them to where, you know, they knew they need to be. So I am thankful of that. But still yet knowing that, well, I've got time, or, you know, I'm young, or, you know, I just, I got all kinds of other stuff to do. You know, for whatever reason, there's so many people out there right now that have that mindset of it. But then again, allowing us to realize those that have chosen, you know, he has chosen us. So we've been engrafted in by the blood, and knowing that we have been empowered to do the work of God. That goes for everybody. That's not just for me. That's just not for people that preach. That's not just for people that teach or worship or anything. But he's empowered the body of Christ. If you claim to be the body of Christ today and you're powerless, that's not scripture. Because of why? Because he's empowered his people. And, you know, so many people say, well, I just, you know, but I don't want to receive that, because I want them to understand and know that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is now living inside of each and every one of us. So why don't I see this happen? Why don't I see that happen? You know, I get asked that quite a bit. You know, why ain't this going on? Why didn't this get answered like I thought it would be? What's going on here, Josh? What are we doing wrong? You know, but thing about it is, it ain't necessarily we're doing nothing wrong. But as us understanding that, listen, Jesus must have a bride that is going to do what he says. And he says, you know, we've got to be the salt, we got to be the light. Just as we was talking about different things a while ago, if it's something that hinders us, look in the mirror, think about yourself. If it's something that hinders you from getting to where Jesus wants you to be, then we need to stop it. If there's something that we need to do more in order to get to where Jesus is, then we need to do it. Because of why there's so many people right now that are hurting and that are, you know, that need to hear from you. It feels like every week that from, you know, every time that I preach or every time that I speak there at the church, that, you know, I'm always trying to encourage people to get their testimony out. Let people understand that, listen, this is not about anything else, but you having a relationship with Jesus and allowing us to be the light, to get out there and to tell people who Jesus is. Because he is the light, we are now the light. Amen. Because he's a healer. And because of him being a healer, I can be healed. You know, I have infirmity in my body right now. And, you know, maybe, you know, there's several people even there in our church, you know, this past week, there's people that are going through so many things. Why can't I have a prayer of faith that says, Lord, you heal it. Lord, you touch it. Lord, you're the only one that can actually reach down and give me complete peace and victory in my body right now. Where's my faith at? But knowing that if I've received him into my life, if I've claimed to say, Lord, I can't do it without you, then therefore, because of us doing that and coming into his kingdom, he therefore empowers us to fight off the wiles of the devil. I mean, mm-hmm. But not everything we go through, you know, is mainly, well, everybody wants to blame it on the devil, blame it on this. But no, sometimes our flesh gets in the way, mm-hmm. and our flesh rises up. So therefore, he has empowered us to be greater than all of those things. So, I mean, when I think about, you know, when I think about writing these things or whatever, I say, Lord, sometimes I think that I'm just writing this for me because this is what I need right now. You know, but maybe it is for other people as well. I got a few people that kind of comment on it and things like that. But what I'm saying is I believe, as people always ask me, and I think even this past month, I was very humbled by Sister Gretchen put in the Remnant Report, one of my managers from here a while back. And she'd asked me before, she said, now listen, could I use this? I said, yes, you can. I said, because it's not mine anyway. Mm-hmm. I said, because it's the Lord that gave it to me. I say, you use whatever you want. But I mean, you know, thinking about what the Lord has given us is for the benefit of not only us, but others as well. And I mean, I'm thankful for life this morning that I'm seeing a people right now that are actually, I feel as if they're being convicted, Hannah. But I want them to be convicted to the place of where it brings a total change and a total surrender unto the life. You know, just as we was talking about other things a while ago, but I mean, there's things in my life right now maybe I could be convicted over, you know, whether it be what we eat, whether it be what we drink, whether it be what we do on our telephones or things like that. If it's anything that comes in between you and serving the Lord, because even though, you know, in our bodies, we got to be, I think of Brother Aaron there, he's, you know, he's put away cokes and stuff like that.
Not effectively yet.
Well, I mean, you're working on it.
I'm working on it.
You're working on it, but there for a little while, you know, because he sees the, of how his body needs to be in a place of where he can lead more, of where he can guide more, of where we can instruct more. And I mean, I'm kind of seeing that. I haven't put it into practice as I know it like Aaron has, but I see that. Because of why? Because if your body is not in a place of where you're taking care of it, and therefore that can bring you down not only in your natural body, but also in your spiritual body. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because of why? If you're not feeling good to do something, more than likely you're just going to sit there. You know, and, you know, I had a problem with my back, and it's still there, but even last Monday and Tuesday, it was there quite a bit. This was a week ago, so I was just sitting there. And I was like, man, I just sat there and was like, couldn't get no relief. But then finally I got up to do something that next day. It was like, the more you got up to do, it's like, all right, I don't know if my mind was on it or I was just working through it or whatever. But if you're not thinking on the things that's got you held down, then it's like you're getting past that. Mm-hmm. See, the enemy would love to get the body of Christ thinking on the things that they're doing wrong, thinking on the things that they might be struggling at, thinking on all the things that will cause them to just sit down and quit. But no, it ain't a time to sit down and quit. It's a time to rise, and it's time to be the body of Christ like we should be. As Amen. He has received us into his kingdom, then we got to do something for it. It ain't just coming into his kingdom and quitting and sit down. No, once you come into the kingdom of God, there's a work to do now. And mm-hmm. I don't know, and I know there's people right now that are in a situation where we want to work. Amen. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
Well, can I go back to something you started with there?
You sure can.
Because this is something I've talked to the kids at the high school about, right. in the high school Bible class quite a bit. And I think it's something the church needs to discuss more. I don't think we ever find a place to where God's obligated to continue to just keep drawing and drawing and drawing. His spirit will not always strive with man.
Right.
Now, we do know that according to Corinthians, that it does say the goodness of God leads them into repentance, and that goodness is his long suffering, that he hasn't killed us yet.
Come on.
You know, like yeah, that right. that sin hasn't took us out, that we're yeah. not dead, because that is what we're worthy of.
Right.
But in his mercy and his patience, he's allowed us to live.
Amen.
And allowed us to have time to repent. But that time does run out.
Come on.
And I like for Judas, it ran out. But I think for Judas, it ran out before he ever died. That's just my opinion.
Yeah.
Because Judas sought repentance but didn't find anything. Why? Because he was really never led by the Holy Spirit to repent. Like he had missed his point.
Yeah.
And I don't want to say like in the sense of, you know, I'm not trying to be hard, but I also want to be honest. And I think the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, I used to believe in my early days it was something that only could happen when you died. I believe you can blaspheme the Holy Spirit now.
Yeah.
And I believe that you can do it while you're on the earth. And I believe this is equivalent to what Hebrews 6 is. See, for me, Hebrews 6 is not about a person who has been born again and backslides or creates apostasy, even though I believe in apostasy, apostates. I believe it's somebody who partook of the church, was enlightened, who came to the house of the Lord, lifted their hands, felt the goosebumps, heard the truth, engaged in the fellowship of the body, but rejected Christ.
Come on.
And he says, if you reject him, where else is repentance?
Yeah.
There is no other truth. You rejected the leading of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
That's what the Pharisees and the Sadducees did. John the Baptist came, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. They missed him because they were willing, unwilling to repent. And they never found repentance. And that's who he's teaching to, because they said, you were casting out spirits by the spirit of Beelzebub. And he's saying basically this, you've just rejected me. You called me the devil. You've seen what I've done. You've seen my miracles. You have seen the movement. You have seen me. You've heard me teach. You rejected.
Yeah.
You had John the Baptist to teach. You rejected it.
Wow.
And I believe that's something we probably need to cover in the church a little bit stronger, because our philosophy is to make everybody feel comfortable to come when you want.
Yeah.
Salvation is not coming about when you want it.
That's right.
The Bible says in John 6:44, no one comes to the Father unless the Son draws them, unless the Spirit of God draws them. So if the Spirit is drawing you,
yeah,
he's not obligated to draw you tomorrow. Today is a day of salvation.
Amen.
And you don't just get to decide on your deathbed, I think I'll be saved now. That's not how this works.
Come on.
If the Spirit doesn't draw you, salvation is not an intellectual decision. Salvation is a regeneration of your heart by the Holy Spirit, giving you a new heart and a new mind. And so in this area, like, we teach this as salvation is nothing more than signing the card, and then we popishly say you're good. But that's not how salvation is in the Scripture.
Come on.
It does say, confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, and you shall be saved. But we got to put all this together and see what the Holy Spirit's really doing. And my fear is that we're perpetuating a lie and continuing to let people decide, I know the Holy Spirit was drawing me today. It's okay. He'll draw you tomorrow. And in all honesty and weightiness, I want somebody to find that in Scripture.
Yeah.
I want somebody to find that in Scripture to where he will continually draw and draw and draw. Because what I see is him standing at the door of the church of Laodicea and saying, I'm taking away your candlestick. He's knocking, But that knock better be answered, because he won't knock forever, because one day that knocking stops and that candlestick's taken away.
Come on now.
And one day the ark will shut.
Yep.
And he's not obligated to keep it open for anybody.
That's right.
It's in his mercy and his grace that he does so. But we've got to quit just making this thing about, like, it's okay if you don't want to be. I know you're being convicted now. I know it. But it's okay. He'll convict you later, too. I would just really challenge somebody to find that in Scripture.
Well, I mean, it's about like that one I just said a while ago. They hadn't been in church in a long time. Long time.
Mm-hmm.
And they was there Sunday. And, well, so then they began to tell me that they felt as if they needed to go, but for whatever reason they didn't. You know what I'm saying? So it was very scary for me, because I believe that at that moment, that was the strongest conviction that I've seen upon them, if I ever seen it that strong before on them. And it's like, man, don't
reject that.
Don't reject what he's doing for you right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it was, because I don't believe he would have told me what he told me. But I mean, it's just so sad to know that every week that you have people there that, I mean, they may be a child of God, and they're a child of God. Or let me say this, they're a child of God, but there's so much more that I believe that the Lord is convicting them to get drawn closer to them. And still yet some of them are rejecting his call to come up hither to where he's at.
Yeah.
And I believe it, brother, and I believe that's dangerous also.
Yeah.
Because I believe he's calling people to a closer walk because of maybe what's going on in their life in a little bit, that if they're not so close to God, they're not so close to him, that then they're going to be in a place of where something comes up that they may not be strong enough to make it through that. But I believe every week he's calling a people stronger to him, but there's so many people that don't talk about that rejection, but always talk about the rejection of not ever knowing him.
Yeah.
But see, that also is dangerous for us to realize that the Lord is calling the church to be deeper and stronger with him, but for whatever reason, still yet some of us or some people are rejecting that call as well.
Yeah. It's almost as though we've condoned rejection.
Come on.
It's okay. You can reject him. He'll be there tomorrow.
Yeah.
And I just really think with weightiness and sincerity, we need to look at the Scripture.
Yeah.
And say, you know, if he's drawing you, he's shown, the evidence has been revealed to you by the Holy Spirit. He's enlightened you. He's been wooing you. You've seen the glory of God. If you reject that, you know, there's a difference. Like, there was a difference between Peter and Judas. Peter was his. Judas wasn't.
Right.
It doesn't matter if Judas walked with him. It didn't matter if Judas served him.
Come on now.
Did not matter that Judas stuck by Jesus' side all the time on the earth. Didn't matter if Judas kept if he was the treasurer. Didn't matter if Judas was on Jesus' staff on the earth.
Good word.
What did he call Judas in John 6? A devil.
Yeah.
And Judas did not come back. He committed suicide after Jesus' death. Peter did betray him. But what was Jesus' words to him? Make sure Peter was with you.
Wow.
Why? Because Peter was his. Because you can go back to Matthew whenever he said, I have given you the keys. Why did he give him the keys? Because he had the profession. He had the confession. He had, blessed are you, Simon or Joe, for flesh and blood, not revealed this to you, but my Father who art in heaven.
Yeah.
Jesus received it.
Right.
I mean, Peter received it. Peter received that words of life. Where else can I go? You have the words of life. You didn't hear that coming out of Judas' mouth. But Judas saw not everything Peter saw, but Judas saw enough.
Right.
That when he rejected him, he had no reason to reject.
Right.
And so I just think there's a lot here, and we keep making God about a genie in a bottle, and you can throw him out for 30 years, do whatever you want, and he's always going to be there when you come back. And I'm not trying to be hard, and I'm not trying to be judgy or say he's not, but I really would humbly ask somebody with sincerity and as much weightiness as I could, find that God in Scripture. Find that Scripture for me that says you can reject him as much as you want and he's always going to be there tomorrow.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to be mean. I mean, it's just, I think that, and I'm not talking about somebody who's struggling or somebody who has this or something like that. I'm talking about somebody who has had the, who has seen the working of the Lord, had the conviction of the Holy Spirit in the heart, had the truth preached to them, been enlightened, participated in the body of Christ, who reject him and declare him not to be the Son of God.
Right.
We're taught, we see that too.
Yeah.
We see that all. And so.
That happened. Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead. You're fine.
That happens, but also with what Josh was saying on the other example of this with Christians, you know, that's, you were talking about Christians,
yeah,
right?
Right.
Of the Lord calling us deeper, but
yeah,
but we're not seeking, we're not. And it just takes me to Matthew 7, you know, like, I think the Lord, he must draw us for us to come into the body,
right,
into his fold. But once we get in there, he's not, he's not like doing everything for us. He everything good comes from him, but he's not pushing us and making us, he's not going to make us seek him. And in, right, Matthew 7, it says, seek, ask and it will be given, seek and you will find, knock,
right,
and it will be open to you. And I think, amen, a lot of us aren't, we're not seeking or knocking.
That's right.
We're just sitting, or yeah, we're just like where we're at.
Yeah. And I know that he didn't call us to just sit, right?
Yeah.
That's right.
And it's easy. I mean, I've done it. It's very easy to fall into.
Come on.
But, you know, we can't, at the same time as Christians, we can't complain about, well, the Lord, you know, I'm not hearing from the Lord, or I'm not in a deep place with the Lord if we're not seeking it, if we're not seeking,
right,
him, because he tells us to seek him,
right,
once we've received him.
Yep. And Brother Jim, he chimed in and he said the Holy Ghost will only draw for so long, but then you rejected time and time again.
Amen.
It could be turned over. Someone could be turned over to
this,
a reprobate mind,
here, all right?
And the drawing be stopped.
Thanks.
But, I mean, don't allow that to happen. I mean, even somebody that wants to draw closer to the Lord, you know what I'm saying? If the Lord's calling you to be closer, don't allow that to stop, because there's always an opportunity for us to draw to him.
Mm-hmm. So. And I believe the Lord will allow us. He'll give us what we desire. Like,
that's
if,
right,
if we're not desiring him, he'll let us stay in a stagnant place.
Come on.
And reap from that and live in that and figure out how miserable it is to not have his presence so close to us. I've been,
yeah,
there. I've been there several times. I mean, sometimes I don't feel him as close, or I'm not hearing from him. And it's not that, you know, I'm living in sin or anything like that. But when I haven't been seeking after him with everything I have, I'm not going to be hearing from him. I'm not going to be getting revelation. You know, I can't just expect him to spoon feed me everything. I have to seek him out. And so I have to rebuke myself sometimes, because I can't expect something if I'm not seeking and knocking. So.
Right. That's exactly right. And so that's why we're encouraging people to continue to seek, continue to knock, continue to draw toward him. Because if we continue to draw toward him, guess what he's going to do? He's going to continue to draw toward us. Amen. So, but yeah, he said, and Brother Jim says, stagnant water is poison and useless. So, I mean, that's exactly right. I mean, if we're stagnant, that becomes a sour taste there, and that becomes sour and becomes just where it's to the point of where it's no good. So, I mean, we don't need to get to that ever at all. Amen. So,
amen. All right. I was in here with Brother Ernie Vincent, the one and
amen.
Only. The
amen.
One and only. Amen.
Hallelujah.
We're going to take a really short break here, come back in here with another one and only, Miss Megan Fortner, here on the Mornings of Box 2 Radio, here on the Box 2 Radio. All right, we are back here. Let me clarify one statement. A listener said that I condemned all Beth-Dead confessions. I do not, but I do think that if your attitude is that I know I need to get saved, but I'll get saved in my deathbed after I kind of live my life and enjoy it, and I'll get that Jesus thing taken care of later, I don't think that's the right attitude. I think there are deathbed confessions where God draws people 100%. But I think if your attitude is, I'm just going to put it off until I'm ready, I don't think that's a right attitude to have. And I think that point salvation is just about, you know, it's about just a ticket to heaven, not about following Christ.
The Lord knows. He weighs and he searches and he sees the heart. So the ones who have a true conversion on their deathbed, it's justified. Like, it's
absolutely. There's
reasons. There's factors in that. But us just banking on, we're going to wait until then. The Lord knows our heart in that it's really deceitful. And I don't know the word for that, but kind of wicked. Yeah. I mean,
I've seen real deathbed confessions.
Yeah.
And I've seen them happen in real things. And it's real true. But I've also heard people out of their own mouth, I want to live my life and enjoy it. I'll get that salvation thing later, maybe when I'm dying. And I think you're playing a dangerous game for
him. Oh, very dangerous, for sure.
All right. I just want to clarify that because I don't want people to think I don't believe in deathbed confessions. I do. I just don't believe that Jesus is an ornament you put on your tree and you do it when you're ready.
We shouldn't bank on that. Amen. That shouldn't be our plan, yeah.
Yeah. All right, Miss Megan Fortner, the one and only's on with us this morning. How are you doing, Miss Megan?
Well, I'm blessed and highly favored. How are y'all?
We're doing great. Doing great. Thank you again for being a part of the Share-a-thon and helping us out there.
Oh, anytime. I love it. Anytime. Well, it's a blessing.
Hallelujah. And for those powerhouse prayers, amen.
Yes, glory.
We know, you know, you always have certain people you know are praying because you've seen the fruit of the prayer. So you know you can go back and pray together. So we appreciate that as well.
Praise God. Well, it's an honoring thing, you know. You sow honor, you reap honor.
Amen.
And you do what the Lord calls you to do, and he blesses you and gives you rewards. And, you know, when you work the word works for you, and there's nothing better than the word working.
That's great.
I love it. Yeah.
Amen. Well, what's the Lord kind of speaking to you this morning or just lately? Anything that's just on your heart this morning?
Oh, praise God. Well, I went to a retreat last weekend, which was my first ever experience going to a retreat, like a women's retreat, where you're kind of like bunking with other women and stuff. Like, I've never done that before. So
an adult sleepover?
Kind of like that. It's all about Jesus.
Yeah, Jesus sleepover.
So it was great. But the cool thing was is that my 7-year-old son and I were driving home the other night, and we started, he sparked the conversation about Jesus leaving the 99 to save the one. And so it was so impactful, the moment that we had together. And then he said, Mom, I bet when I get to heaven, Jesus is going to talk to me in parables. So I kind of laughed. Yeah, I kind of laughed. But the great thing was, is that's the whole theme of what the retreat was about.
Wow.
Jesus, yeah. So the Lord, so Caius and I were sitting there talking about how important it is that everyone knows that when you start to kind of try to run away and kind of do your own thing, that Jesus is running after you. God is running after you and waiting for you to say, okay, pick me up. He doesn't want you to go far away. He doesn't want you to stray away. And then it also says in the word in Luke 15, it says, you know, all of heaven rejoices over one lost sinner who repents and returns.
Mm-hmm.
And then it also says, to God than over 99 others who are righteous and haven't strayed away. So, you know, I think about that where I'm like, I used to be the one, right? We all used to be the one that God was chasing after to say, I'm ready for you to come in, like, come because I have so much for you. You know, I've got rewards that I want to, I've got blessings. I've got so much. I have a life that is so much better than the life that you think you're living right now that seems good, but it isn't good. He says, come, I'm coming after you. Because the word also says, if you go to Deuteronomy 31:6-8, and then Hebrews 13:5, I never leave you nor forsake you.
Mm.
So, you know, if you really sit and think about that, that the times that we get off course, he's still there. It's just that we're going away from him, but he's never going away from us. And I just want to encourage people today that may think, well, where is God? Ask yourself, where are you? Where have you went? What are you doing? Is there things that you're doing that you know that you're taking a step out of God? You know, are there things that, you know, maybe there's some unforgiveness in your heart, or maybe there's some things that are, is your love walk right? Like, go to the word and be like, okay, God, what am I doing that may be hindering some things that is stopping things from coming to me? Am I out of step? You'll know if you're out of step, you know, if you're maturing and things. But I just want you to know God never leaves you nor forsakes you. He's always running after the one, and we are all, you know, the ones that are, we're one. He wants us. He knows our name. We are precious to him. So I just want to encourage you today in that.
Amen. Yeah, I think, I mean, we can definitely, that parable really speaks to us as believers. And we were talking about Peter earlier, actually. Peter versus Judas, the difference. Yeah. Because Judas never actually had that heart transformation. Like, he never came into the family, the kingdom. He was too, he held on to the world and didn't want to let go of that. But Peter, he did, but he strayed, you know, like that one. And, you know, he was so ashamed and, I mean, had messed up. And then instead of coming, you know, before the throne of grace, ran away because of, you know, the shame. And I think we've all been there before. Mm-hmm. And whatever the reason that we're running away, that we're straying away, shame often has something to do with it, because there's usually a sin started the process, and then shame comes in and condemnation and all those things. But when we read the word, a lot of the times I think that's why we stay in that place, is because we're not reading the word that says there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. You know, we can come boldly before the throne of grace because of the blood of the Lamb that's been applied to our life. And, you know, I think Peter's life is a really encouraging one to look at when talking about this, you know, because when Jesus came back, he said, "Where's Peter?" Like he's like, "Go get him." And and he was searching after him. And then look at all that God did. Was he perfect? Did he make every right decision? No. Even in the later on in the New Testament, I mean, he made some mistakes, but he stayed the course. He stayed with the Lord. And I'm thankful for his story that we have, because it's very encouraging to those of us who stray. And I believe all of us at some point, we stray to a certain extent. Mm-hmm. And we've been that one that, you know, the Lord comes after and we're restored. And so, and the Lord knows, he knows that, he knows I think we forget sometimes that he knows everything.
Amen.
Right.
We think that he does, like, nobody understands what I'm going through, but he understands. But it's just that our flesh, that just like Peter's flesh, that made us so ashamed to come to him that we want to run away, but he wants to fix everything and heal everything. And it might hurt a little bit to have those things exposed again, but when he heals it, we'll be free. Like Brother Josh was talking about earlier, you know, the difference between being a dead person walking and a free person walking.
Yeah, that's right.
Right. Yeah.
So that's awesome. I love that.
It's so good. It's so powerful. It's so pungent. It's like, I just think about it, you know, he leaves 99 to save the one. So how important is the one? How important are you? So important that he would leave 99 to come to you. But it's a choice that you have to make. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like shame is the root of all the addictive behavior. And so shame is the root, you know, when sin comes in, shame comes in, but it's the root of all addictive, like, I don't want to follow God behavior because the enemy's got in your mind and made you think that you're unworthy or whatever the stuff he tries to say. But God has never left you. All he's waiting for you to do is just say, I'm done. I'm done running. And then he says, all right, I'm going to pick you up, put you on my shoulders, and I'm going to show you how easy this is. Because a life in God, if we follow the word, is easy. It's hard, but it's easy because we trust him and we let him do the work when we do our part. So I just wanted to paint this picture in your minds today, if you're listening. Whatever it is, if you feel like God has, you know, gone further away from you, remind yourself that it's actually you that's went away from him, because he's right there just waiting for you to just lay it down and say, okay, Lord, pick me up. I'm sorry for what I've done. Show me what it is in me that may be making me step out of where I need to be. And, you know, he's so loving and caring that he'll put you on his lap and say, let me show you. Let me teach you. That's what he wants to do. So I just wanted to encourage anyone today that may be feeling like he's so far away. He's not. He's right there.
That's right.
He's just waiting for you to lay it down and say, okay, I'm done with this. I don't want to do this anymore. Lord, grow me. Give me the strength to say no when it comes up again, or just create in me who you want me to be. And it's that simple. And then the Lord says, I can work with that. And then he starts to go to work.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. Glory to God.
That's so good. You know, and sometimes, you know, you were talking about how the shepherd throws, you know, the sheep over their shoulder. And mm-hmm. sometimes, I mean, you know, certain sheep don't want to come when he comes to find them, you know. I mean, and we see that. But, you know, I'll never forget a prayer that someone was praying over somebody. And they were, you know, kind of praying the scripture over them and saying, like, you know, it's the time of, you know, hiding is over. Like, the time of mm-hmm. running and resisting, like, don't resist the shepherd. Like, don't resist that he's coming after you right now. Don't fight it, because he's coming after you. He wants you. He's chosen you. And, you know, sometimes there has to be discipline. I mean, if the sheep mm-hmm. isn't going to listen, there has to be some sort of discipline, you know, spare the rod, spoil the child. Mm-hmm. And that it hurts when we resist the Lord.
Come on.
Because he has to discipline us. He has to, you know, get us in line and use that rod sometimes. And that rod it doesn't feel good.
That's right.
But I'm so thankful for the rod. I'm thankful for the staff.
Yeah.
That, you know, that comforts us through the chastising and the discipline. Because, you know, those of us that are more stubborn and want to, our flesh wants to resist the Lord as he's coming after us, he has to discipline, because and mm-hmm. he disciplines those who he loves.
Come on.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes we're thinking, well, why is all this, you know, happening in my life? Like, nothing's going right. Well, we have to, you know, ask ourselves, like, why am I here? Kind of like what you said, like, where have I gone? Where have mm-hmm. I strayed to? And I believe that, you know, if we open our eyes to see, we will see the Lord's discipline in our life.
That's right.
For those that are his, because he wants us to be on course. He's not going to just let us stray and just leave us to be. The Holy Spirit's going to reveal to us what we're doing and what's Come separating on. Us from him. And yeah. I'm very thankful for that, because when we're in a place where we don't have that conviction and we're not having the discipline, that's a scary place to be.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm thankful for that.
Sorry.
No, you're fine. Go ahead.
Well, I think about something that, you know, Pastor Mark said to me, a step out of God is a step into the devil's territory. So, like, when you step out of the arena of faith, when you decide to take that step away from God, you're stepping over into the devil's territory, right, where he can attack you. The veil of protection is kind of lifted, so now you've allowed that to be where you want to be. But it also, in actual life, like, if a sheep keeps, or a lamb keeps running, or a sheep keeps running, they break their legs, put them over their shoulders, and carry them to where the sheep will understand how much the shepherd means to them. Aren't we thankful that God's not like, I'm going to break your leg because you keep running? You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to go out, I'm just going to knock that. But whenever I was thinking about that, I was like, I'm tired of having to continually battle things that I know I shouldn't do, because I don't want to stay in the right path of righteousness and stay where I know my protection is and stay in line. But the biggest thing is, I just want people to get that if you've run off, God is right there. It's just a choice to lay it down and say, pick me up. And then once I heard somebody, I was listening a little bit to the radio where somebody had said something about being stagnant and, you know, all that stuff. But that's another thing, like, when we get stagnant, we're kind of veering away where we don't really want to do the things. And then, like somebody said, it's poisonous water. Well, it also stinks. It's smelly. It's not good, right? Stagnant water's not good. So why not let God just pick you up and say, come on, I'm going to carry you for a while to where I can show you how good this life will be for you when I strengthen you and get you where I need you to be. But it's going to take you paying attention. It's going to take you staying in the Word. It's going to take you looking to me when everything else looks crazy. Keep your gaze firmly planted on me. But just the picture of him coming after you and picking you up is enough to make me just be like, Lord, have your way. You love me so much that you would leave everyone else just to save me. And he knows you by name, so he's running at you trying to say your name. and tell you, hey, hey, Megan, I'm here. Megan, quit looking at that. Come here. You know, just the picture of that just makes me all warm inside and just so glad that he loves us so much that he would do that for us.
Amen. That's so true, Megan. And I mean, it's something I can't get out of my mind. You said a while ago how oftentimes people say, where are you at, God? But, you know, mm-hmm. at the end of the day, we got to say, where are we at?
Right.
And I mean, you know, so we always want to blame things on the Lord or blame things on him for not doing something. But at the end of the day, really, it's probably most of our own fault for not doing what he's told us to do.
Amen. That's the truth.
Yeah. And when you think about breaking, and I got a message while you was talking about that, how a brother texted in. He said, talking about how the sheep keep running away, that the shepherd will break the leg. But, I mean, he mm-hmm. was saying that almost when you was saying those things, though. When I'm thinking about our Father, our Heavenly Father, Jesus, you know, in order for him to draw us to him, he's got to break us. Mm-hmm. Not to the point of where it hurts us, to the point of where we can't do nothing, but actually breaks us to the point where we can do everything that he's called us to do.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
And it might hurt, mm-hmm. but the thing is with him is, like, he's not going to destroy.
That's right.
He will never harm us.
Come on.
You know, like, it might hurt us because discipline does. You know, using mm-hmm. a rod on a child, that hurts.
I mean,
but it's not destroying. It's not overtaking. It's for the purpose of building up.
You got it.
And keeping in the right direction. And that's what I love about the Lord is, yes, you know, others that don't understand and have, you know, an understanding of God's character will think, oh, that's your God is abusive, or, you know, why would he hurt you? Why would he hurt? Why would he discipline? Why would he? But we know that he is saving us from a greater destruction.
That's right.
Anything he does to discipline us is to keep us from the greater harm, which is the enemy, because the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. The Lord never comes to steal anything from us, destroy anything. He's just trying to keep us from that, the evil one, and from ultimately death and destruction. And I'm very thankful that, you know, if we use wisdom here, we look at it, you know, I would much rather go through the discipline that hurts to save me from the suffering that comes without discipline, because, you know, spare the rod, spoil the child. That word spoil isn't just like, you know, a light word. It's literally rotting away to death.
Yeah.
Death.
Yeah.
The Lord has came to give us life and life more abundantly. And sometimes it comes with the breaking, but the breaking produces such life in us,
mm-hmm.
abundant life. And I'm very thankful for that.
Yeah. think about a time where maybe you've been really, really nasty to somebody and, you know, you've really hurt them. And then they walk up to you and they just say, I forgive you and I love you. It breaks you down into tears sometimes, you know, just thinking the love that someone has when you've acted in a way or done something that you know you shouldn't have done, but the person's just like, I love you. It's okay, I forgive you. You know, let's sharpen each other, let's grow each other, or something like that, you know. That's the way the Lord is. Like, he loves you so much that he's just like, I love you. And yeah, you've made a mistake or whatever, but thank you for repenting, and thank you for coming and apologizing, and thank you for asking forgiveness, and thank you for that. And then he's like, let me put you right back where you were. Let me put Amen. You back under my wing. Let me bring you into the tabernacle, you know, for the shelter. Let me do those things. Because a lot of times it's when we take a step out that the enemy starts to attack us. And then, like you were just saying, Brother Josh, you know, that everybody wants to blame God for that, but in all reality, it was your choice to move. It wasn't God's choice to make you move.
Amen.
So we need to really take a reality check on that light right there, where we're like, but this is happening to me. This is happening to me. Okay, are you in step with God? Because if not, it isn't God's fault.
Yeah.
You've chosen to move away. You've mm-hmm. chosen to go that way. So you're going to, you know, but then there are times also when you're strong in the Lord, the enemy's going to attack you to try to get you out of there. So whenever you're strong in the Lord and you're gaze is firmly planted on him, and you see and you know what the word says, and you're looking in the word when the enemy comes, and you can stand up against the enemy and say, no, you know, you're not going to do anything in my family's life, you're not going to do anything in my life, you can keep trying, but it's not going to happen, because my rock is my firm foundation. I've got the shield up, you know, I've got the power of the Lord on the inside of me, and there's nothing going to shake me from my faith.
Amen.
And so I just want to encourage you in that too. Always ask the Lord, is there something I'm doing? If you know you have unforgiveness or aught or anything in your heart, you got to change it up. It's time to flip the script, get it out, let the Lord put you right back in where you need to be, because that right there is a huge thing that gets you out of step with the Lord. So Amen. I just want to encourage you that too.
Yeah. I love that. I love the analogy of like the staying in the arena and like in step with the Lord and then stepping out of the Lord.
Yeah.
And being mm-hmm. in the devil's territory, because I think it gives us an easy, clear picture of like what it looks like to have the Lord's protection.
Right.
And to step out of his presence and out of his, you know, domain and into the enemies, and to be open, like without the armor of God on.
Cool.
And I think that is, we could even get into, which we don't have much time, but when we start thinking about like giving legal grounds to the, like giving over, giving place to the devil, you know, the word tells us give no place to the devil. When we're in step with the Lord, he has no legal ground in our life. So if he starts trying to sneak in somewhere, we plead the blood and we put him in his place. Like he literally has no right over our family or over our life. So we can put him in his place. But when we're in his territory, holding hands with his people, we're holding hands with him, we can't, you know, be surprised when he starts hurting us and stealing from us and doing all these things, because we're in his domain. We're in his territory, like you're talking about. So I think when it comes to the conversation of deliverance, opening doors, you know, needing deliverance from these things, needing to sever these things, the enemy's tormenting us. I think this is a great picture to kind of explain that, the difference of being in the Lord, abiding with him, having that protection and the enemy not having any legal grounds in our life versus us being a child of God, but stepping out of that blessing and protection and giving stuff over to the enemy, literally just giving it to him.
Come on.
And I think that I really like this illustration, because I think for listeners, for me, I'm more of a visual. I like visuals. I like to, think of things in pictures and stories like that. It's easier to understand that way. And I think it's just a very good picture of what it looks like.
Right.
Well, it was Kenneth E. Hagin that said, I was listening to him one day, and he said, why don't you open the door and show the enemy who your God is? You know, and he says, whenever the enemy starts coming against you, you know, you open the door in the supernatural and say, this is who my daddy God is. Do you really want to test that? Because you know what the ending result is going to be, right? Which that was kind of my analogy after that. But he's like, open the door and show the enemy who your God is. You do that by walking in love. You do that by standing firm on your confession. You do that by pleading the blood, binding the enemy, right? The attacks of the enemy, you do those things. But then what that goes along with that is you can open the door. If you're sinning, you're opening the door and letting the enemy come in.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you've got to have that. You really need to sit and think about that. Like, which door am I opening? Am I showing the enemy who I am by who God is? Or am I opening the door and letting sin and the enemy just freely come in and wreak havoc in my life? But if you're letting sin in and you're letting the enemy come in, you can't turn around and say, God, why aren't you doing something? Now you have to say, I'm going to stop this. I'm going to stop this door, and I'm going to choose to walk in the Lord. And then you can say, okay, enemy, this is who God is. And just open the door and be like, this is who I am in him. And you already know what your end result is, so you might as well go ahead and go. So, in the name
Amen.
It's so good.
Yeah, and we know the enemy's looking for people who he wants to find people who aren't confident of who their God is.
Right.
People who are on the edge and have doubt in their salvation and their relationship with the Lord. And because when we know who our God is, he's not going to be able to mess with us for very long. He's going to figure out, I better move to the next person.
That's right.
So, but thank you so much, Megan, for coming on. Yes. Always an encouragement and just sharing your heart and iron sharpening iron. It's fun.
Yes.
It's a blessing, and we appreciate you so much here on the Box 2 Radio Network. Until next time, we'll stay in touch, and we definitely need to get you back here in person sometime.
Yes.
Whenever you're available and whenever we can get that together. But we love you. We will talk to you
love
later.
You. Have
a blessed day.
Have a blessed day, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Man, look at that. That is that's very rare for us to get done like a minute early, because normally, but I really tried this morning because I'm bad about getting in the zone and not looking over there at the clock. But it's been a good morning, guys. Thank you, Brother Josh, for everything you do too, and for helping so much. throughout the share-a-thon, and this morning's been a good first one back.
Yeah, good really, first one back. I know really good get one. You guys back in the saddle. Of course, we haven't been here in the last couple weeks either, so, I mean, good to be back. Hopefully everybody had a great morning. Hopefully you have a great day and be blessed and know y'all be back again tomorrow, right?
Yes, we'll be back tomorrow, 7 a.m. Central Time. Don't forget, if you've been out of the groove, not listening in the mornings, because Mornings with Boxster Radio's not been on, get back. We're back. It's time to tune back in with us, 91.5, yeah, or the app, or Owensboro, 98.3, Hinesville, 91.1. So we will be back here tomorrow, 7 a.m. Central Time, on Mornings with Boxster Radio on the Boxster Radio Network.